This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Let's talk about the midterms, the ups, the downs. We had the case against James Comey dismissed. We have Steve Dace, Bill Jacobson. What a show tonight on I'm Right. Let's have an uncomfortable conversation, or it might be a comfortable conversation, I guess, depending on how you interpret it. But let's talk about where we're at right now as a movement on the right, what we're looking at in the midterms and why. Let's just break this down. So something that's been a big bit of news that's been making the rounds is the retirement, the resignation, if you will, of Marjorie Taylor Greene, congresswoman from Georgia. She's resigning in January, walking away. All right, that's one story. Not going to focus on that specifically, but there are reports out there, Punchbowl News, saying there will be more resignations coming soon. I will tell you on a personal level. I had a text exchange with a congressman last week, and it started out with him texting me four words. I hate it here. What he said. Sounded very much like a man who wanted to walk away, wanted to retire. And this guy's one of the good ones, wanted to walk away, wanted to retire. Okay? We only have a slim majority. After Marjorie Taylor Greene walks away, it's going to be about 3 seats. If we get too many resignations, the Democrats may have the House of Representatives before the midterms. All right. So this is bad, and we'll come back to the bad for in a moment. But let's pause for a moment. Right now, I'm getting this impression, and I'm going through this as well, that we're pretty down right now on the right. We're down on things. We're down on the way things are going, on what's been done, what hasn't been done. We're going to lose the midterms. We're going to get crushed. We're pretty down on things. And as we're about to discuss, we may get crushed in the midterms, but do keep this in mind in politics. I've been in politics for 20 years. I mean, interested in politics in 20 years. I was just a fan for most of my time, but I pay attention the same way you pay attention. In politics, it matters, so we care a lot. That's why you're into it, right? That's why you're sitting here watching me on I'm Right. That's why I consume the news the same way you do. The stuff matters. It's important for the direction of our country, for the country we're going to leave behind. It's important. And because it's important, we get emotional about it. And because we get emotional about it, we tend to go through highs that are too high and lows that are too low. Because we care, right? We care. You ever been in a relationship, especially early on? Boyfriend, girlfriend, you know, that he doesn't call. It's the end of the world. You had one good date. We're going to get married and be married for 60 years. This is how we are. This is how I am when it comes to politics. When Donald Trump wins an election and we have the House and we have the Senate and we got some good political appointees coming in, we say to ourselves, my goodness, we are saved. We're going to be great forever. Democrats are never coming back to power. Life is good. We've won. Final victory. And then we have a rough couple months, and I fully admit it's been a rough couple months. We have a rough couple months. Oh, it's over. We're done. The country's over. I'm moving to Portugal. Not that anyone would ever do such a thing. Just remember, like we've talked about before, be careful with your highs and be careful with your lows in politics. Now let's talk about the low we are currently in. It's rough. It's been rough. And the House GOP has not helped itself. And Trump, we'll get to Trump in a few, but the House GOP has not helped itself. Times have changed. And there is always a lag in Washington, D.C., understanding how you feel. Because they're in a bubble, there's always a signal lag where you, all your friends, you feel this way. You feel strongly about something, but the message hasn't gotten through to them. And this is something the Republican Party had better get on top of. The American people, specifically the American right, we'll set aside the communists. The American right, they want things done. Tangible things done. It's not just prices we want down. We want corrupt government people arrested. We want this done. We want that done. Not more speeches. Whenever we get some committee hearing where some GOP congressman, some senator, puts a great soundbite out there, really gets them. You know what I don't hardly get anymore? I don't hardly get emails saying, yeah, did you see Senator What's-His-Face? Kill him! What I get is, why are we getting another hearing? Why aren't we doing something? Do something. Are you going to do anything? That's what you feel like. That's what I feel like. But there's a signal lag, you see. Right now, the right is down. We want tangible things done. We want government people thrown into prison. We want deportations. We want prices down. We want things done. The House GOP did this.
Just showing this from the Hill right now. This is a measure to condemn socialism. The vote is still being tabulated. But of note, the four leading Democrats in the House voted with Republicans to condemn socialism.
What? What? With everything going on, our palpable anger, our demands that somebody do something tangible, the House GOP passes a resolution to condemn socialism? You want to talk about signal lag. Maybe they thought they were going to get a pat on the back, some applause for that. I've never seen the right so angry. We're not impressed. I'm not impressed. It's been a down couple months, and that GOP doesn't seem to figure out how to fix itself. So let me explain why things are down right now for the GOP, and let me explain how it has to be turned around. Things are down for really two huge reasons. The huge reasons are this. First, the Epstein stuff was messaged really poorly. It's not that the average everyday voter cares about the Epstein stuff. I'm not talking about the normies. I'll get to them in a moment. We'll set the normies stuff aside. The Trump coalition is large. It's very diverse. All kinds of different interests, border hawks and make America healthy again hawks and all kinds of stuff. There are many different parts of the coalition. But almost all of the parts want wealthy, powerful pedophiles exposed, right? And maybe that's in the files, maybe it's not. We don't know. We don't know that it's been kept from us, but it looked really bad when Trump decided to come out and say, shut up and stop talking about it. That was terrible messaging. Terrible. The Epstein stuff from the Pam Bondi binders that didn't have anything new in them to Trump yelling at everyone to shut up about it, looked bad. It deflated the right. It deflated the base. It looked bad. That hurt. Now, with normies. Normies don't focus on Epstein. Normies are out there today. Maybe you were doing this. I'll tell you what, I did this before I came in. Maybe you were out there buying Thanksgiving supplies today. Normies can't afford food. They can't afford the power bill. I just had to replace an air conditioning in my home a little while ago. It was $9,000 to replace an air conditioning. People can't afford to live. If you're wondering why Democrats currently have the largest lead they've had on the generic ballot since 2017, it's not actually because of Epstein stuff. It's because people can't afford things now. And Trump was elected into the White House because life had become unaffordable. Now, if you're saying it's unfair to expect him to fix that in a year, I totally agree. Totally agree. I'm not laying that at his feet. But people are not going to be satisfied at their kitchen table because of resolutions against socialism. Prices have to come back down. Me, you. We remember what it was like 4 or 5 years ago when prices weren't like this, when we could afford more things. We remember. That's just like yesterday. We remember. So they're still up. We're still not happy. That's why the White House, to their credit, is starting to message things like this.
I think 2026, thanks to President Trump's signature plans, is going to be a great year for working Americans, for the markets.
It's going to be an absolute blockbuster year ahead. And one of the signals you just mentioned, the jobs report, that was double the expectation, a blowout jobs report. We've got GDP now for the last two quarters, almost 4% on average, maybe even a little bit above. And we're going to have a little bit of a hiccup in the fourth quarter because of the silly shutdown. But then things are really lifting.
Okay. Things better be looking up. Right now, the American people don't feel that. Telling them help is on the way, jobs are coming, that works. But they better get here, because that's really going to go to how we go with the midterms. If people still feel down about jobs, about the economy, about it, about inflation a year from now, next November, we're going to get our teeth kicked in. Now back to the right. Remember when Pam Bondi came out, the James Comey stuff? Remember when she said this?
People have to be held accountable. No one, Sean, is above the law. No one is above the law. And you will be held accountable. And, you know, a very liberal grand jury in one of the most liberal jurisdictions in the country just indicted James Comey. Now, we know, of course, we have to go to trial. We'll have a great trial team. And everyone, of course, is innocent until proven guilty. However, we are going to trial in this case, and this is just the beginning.
Yeah, judge just dismissed it. Judge, one of these commie judges, just dismissed the James Comey stuff, the Letitia James stuff. And I know Pam Bondi, look, she went to the cameras after this, what she said.
We'll be taking all available legal action, including an immediate appeal, to hold Letitia James and James Comey accountable for their unlawful conduct.
What's your reaction to his statement?
I'm going to keep going on this. I'm not worried about someone who has been charged with a very serious crime. His alleged actions were a betrayal of public trust.
Okay. Doesn't exactly fill you up with confidence that those two criminals are going to burn. So let's just have it out. A significant portion of the Trump coalition voted for Trump in part, not majorly, but in part, because we wanted to see powerful people finally go down for their crimes. Now, maybe we can make all the excuses in the world. This was a Clinton judge. It was this jurisdiction. But all that stuff may be totally justified. And we're going to get into the details of it with Bill Jacobson in a moment. But just like the vote to condemn socialism, we don't want more press conferences. We don't need more Fox News hits. I mean, those are fine, but it has to be followed up with tangible things. I know there's a DC to us signal lag, so everyone in DC watching right now, please hear my words. We need tangible things now. The days of emails, of these stupid text messages you send us all. I need help putting James Comey away. Send $15. We're tired of it. And you're going to deflate the base so badly that we're going to sit at home in November. I mean, I know you won't. I won't. But lots of it will. We have got to get this turned around. It's a down period of time. Not saying it's going to last forever. But we do have to turn it around. All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I am right. The great Bill Jacobson is going to join us in a moment to discuss the ins and outs, the legal stuff of all this. Look, at least you can sleep good every night. Up or down, you can sleep good. You got yourself some dream powder yet? So, funny thing, we had hot chocolate night the other night. Ob wanted to watch a Christmas movie with the boys. Either way, it was right before bed. You know what kind of hot chocolate I had? Dream powder from Beam. That's what it is. It's hot chocolate. Mine is cinnamon chocolate. Only it's got all kinds of natural things in it, like magnesium and reishi and all these things. Natural stuff. Puts you to sleep. Not in one of these drug-induced comas where you wake up feeling like death the next day. Just good natural sleep. You wake up ready to go. I slept for 9 hours. You want a bag? Want a big discount? Go to shopbeam.com/Jesse Kelly. We'll be back.
I'm grateful that the court ended the case against me, which was a prosecution based on malevolence and incompetence, and a reflection of what the Department of Justice has become under Donald Trump, which is heartbreaking. But I was also inspired by the example of the career people who refused to be part of this travesty. This case mattered to me personally, obviously, but it matters most because a message has to be sent that the President of the United States cannot use the Department of Justice to target his political enemies.
Well, the message was most definitely sent, but I'm not sure that was the one. Joining me now, Bill Jacobson, founder of Legal Insurrection, law professor at Cornell. Bill, the message the base received is that nobody in power is ever going to be held to account ever. Everybody's got the vapors today. It's the end of the world. Now, maybe it is the end of the world, maybe it's not, but I'm guessing you have a little bit more detail than that. The floor is yours. What happened?
Well, nothing akin to what James Comey just said happened. Okay, this was not a ruling on the merits that he did nothing wrong. This is not a ruling that the president engaged in a vindictive prosecution. None of those things happened. This was an interpretation of a statute by a district court judge, which will, of course, be appealed, which said that the prosecutor who conducted the grand jury and approved the indictment or presented the indictment had not been properly appointed pursuant to a statute for filling vacancies in U.S. attorney offices. And that's how the judge read the statute. I believe the judge is wrong. I don't think it will ultimately hold up if the Department of Justice goes the appellate route, but that's all that happened. Was this prosecutor properly appointed? Judge found no under a reading of the statute that I think is strained. Has to do with where there is a vacancy in a U.S. attorney's office, the Department of Justice, the president, can appoint an interim U.S. attorney. That was done. That appointment is good for only 120 days, and it then falls to the district court judges, believe it or not, to either continue that person or appoint a new attorney general, a U.S. attorney. That was done. That U.S. attorney, appointed on an interim basis by the judges, resigned. So Trump made another interim appointment. This judge says you can't do that. He says you only get one shot at an interim appointment. That's not what the statute says. That's the way she read the statute, fairly convoluted discussion of that. And I don't think it holds up. And so that's really what this is about, is how are you going to read the statute? Once there was a vacancy, could Trump then make a second interim appointment? That's all this was about. Now, it has huge implications because it gives someone like Comey a platform to opine that he's an innocent victim of the big bad Donald Trump, even though historically it's just the opposite. Trump was the victim of Comey. Now it could go on appeal. It raises another legal question, which is now that the indictment has been dismissed, what they call without prejudice, so it could be brought again. Are they within the statute of limitations for Comey, which at this point has run out, and there's a question whether if you re-indict, it goes back to the original time period. So a whole lot of legal messes. None of it has to do with James Comey being vindicated in any way.
How's all this apply to Letitia James? Because she also apparently got to go off scot-free. She just waddled away.
Same underlying issue, except there's no statute of limitations problem, so there's really nothing to prevent at this point the Department of Justice from re-indicting her, which presumably they will do. And, you know, they have a decision to make. Do they try to go that road, try to re-indict using a different attorney in the U.S. Attorney's Office, or do they simply appeal it to win that victory? And that's just a procedural, strategic decision they will have to make. But Letitia James should be re-indictable. James Comey is re-indictable, but there's a question of how the dismissal of this indictment interacts with the statute of limitations. I think the government's okay there, but you never know, as we just found out.
Okay, let's talk more broadly about judges, because Judge Boasberg comes up all the time. It's becoming pretty obvious, at least to me, that we're not going to be able to get true justice in this country unless we get some of these judges off the bench. But before we get to that, which apparently we're never going to get, can the Supreme Court step in and do something else? Like John Roberts, can he do something?
Well, I think the Supreme Court can step in. I believe they have an inherent power to reassign a case. I don't know if they've ever exercised that, but I think that would be an inherent power that they have. They could remove a judge from a case. I don't think the Supreme Court has the power to remove a judge, federal court judge, from the judiciary, but there are various things they could step in and reassign a case to a different district, to a different judge. So I think there's a number of things, but that's a case-by-case basis. I think the bigger question that you're getting to is we seem to have an out-of-control district court level judiciary, not all of them by any means, but a lot of these, we're in the multiple dozens of cases that the U.S. Supreme Court has had to step in and stay or put a hold on injunctions issued by district court judges. This is really unprecedented. This is should be a rare occurrence, but I think we're up to about 30 plus by this point, and that's all they've been doing is temporarily halting what these judges are doing. But you read a lot of these decisions, and they're really political manifestos in many cases. They all seem to start, or many seem to start, with an introduction, which is essentially a stump speech. And then they get to the law. And we've seen that over and over again. And some of them seem to have taken personal umbrage at the fact that litigants like the U.S. government oppose what they're doing and appeal what they're doing. And Judge Boasberg is the perfect example. He seems to be on a personal vendetta against the Department of Justice. He is reinvigorating, even though parts of it have already been put on hold by the Supreme Court. He's reinvigorating his attempt to hold the Department of Justice in contempt of court based upon, remember, there was, it seems like a decade ago, but it was only a few months ago, where he ordered them to turn around a plane in mid-flight that was had some illegal alien on it they were trying to deport, and he's still trying to hold them in contempt, even though the Supreme Court's put a stop to it, as has the appellate court. He seems to be on a personal mission. This is really a problem. You know, we give life tenure to district court judges to make them independent of the other branches. And that's generally speaking a good thing, but it presents a problem when you have a judge who goes rogue and becomes personally invested in winning the case for himself. And that's really what I think we're seeing in Judge Boasberg, but there's no easy way to deal with it. There really is no easy way to deal with it.
Ah, what a pain. Bill, as always, thank you, sir. I appreciate you. Have a happy Thanksgiving. It's going to take time. All right? It's going to take time. We can't get the justice we need until the judges are gone. Right now, we don't have a GOP with the numbers or the stomach to get the judges gone. Keep slogging away, right? If you don't have the energy for this, it's just because you haven't been taking your chalk. You know chalk's running a Black Friday special right now, right? You know that? I've told you before about male vitality stacks and female vitality stacks, the natural herbal supplements that have me full of pep all the time, but let's talk about this aspect of it. They have chalk lit powder, it's called. It's packed full of vitamins and minerals. You start your day with it in a glass of milk, a smoothie, something like that. If you go get a subscription right now during the month of November, they give out a free bag of it. It's a $99 bag. Free bag of it. Chalk.com/JesseTV. Take advantage. Chalk.com/JesseTV. We'll be back.
We will find out who you are, and we will come after you.
Domestic terrorists, foreign terrorists, you better look out, because we're coming after you.
And if you've committed fraud, we're coming after you.
You better watch out, because we're coming after you. Let me be very clear. If you don't comply with federal law, you're going to be next.
Let this be a warning. You can run, but you cannot hide. Justice is coming.
Big talk that doesn't get delivered on. Very similar to the Michigan Wolverines. Joining me now, Steve Dace, host of the Steve Dace Show. Steve, I mean, I don't know which disappointment we want to talk about first, Michigan or Pam. It's really, the floor is yours, but
Listen, brother, I know it's been about 2,194 days since y'all have beaten us, but who's counting? Apparently I am. Pam has been she's just been a colossal disappointment. And if you knew Pam Bondi's political arc before this appointment, you would not be surprised. She's largely spent much of her time in the Republican Party's more establishment side, more Romney side of things. And I think it just kind of figured out there's a lot of Republicans in the last few years, Jesse, that have cynically figured out that if they genuflect to the personality of Trump on a few things, they can advance their careers beyond what their worldview stated they deserve. Sort of a reverse Peter principle, if you will. You rise to the level of your own slurpage. She's indicative of that. Now, my hope is, you know, when they brought Andrew Bailey in underneath her a few months ago, that they were setting him up to take her place. Andrew Bailey is the former attorney general at Missouri, did a great job there. He's the one that got Anthony Fauci under oath in that incredible deposition. I'd urge every member of your audience to go back and read from a couple of years ago. He has to be an upgrade just by the process of osmosis. I mean, he doesn't have to even be good at this. You know, but the current meme going around of Pam Bondi, and it says, I seriously thought about arresting somebody recently, is a pretty good summation of what the entire year of this DOJ, from her to Cash's FBI, really just, to me, the biggest disappointment of this year. And I don't even think there's a close second.
Steve, I've heard the same rumors, Brianna Morello and others reporting that Andrew Bailey may be bouncing her out, which would be just fine from me. Honestly, while I'm really down on her and the DOJ in general, that at least should tell us that the Trump administration is sensing that we need tangibles, right? We don't need another press conference. We don't need another resolution condemning socialism. The right has had just about enough of that. Someone better be in an orange jumpsuit.
I don't disagree. I mean, and I think, you know, there's a tension here, brother, in that, you know, clearly from the way that Trump laid down markers right after the election. I mean, go back to election night. If anybody could have taken, you know, an obnoxious victory lap, they literally tried to murder the guy after they tried to put him in prison, and he beat him anyway. And instead, on election night, he really did not make it about himself at all. He talked about RFK Jr. and the people he wanted to appoint and what he wanted to do for the country. In sharp contrast to his first term, you remember the first big fight we had in his first term was over whether more people came to his inaugural than Barack Obama's. And then he came right out with a serious policy agenda and acting on it executively, again, in sharp contrast to the first term. I think clearly he wanted to demonstrate, listen, I learned some lessons. I'm ready to govern. I'm ready to lead. And I think particularly the first 6 months of this first year were really, really strong because of that prep. And what was the other big criticism of the first term? The revolving door of people in and out. Remember Anthony Scaramucci and Omarosa when they were a thing for 10 minutes, right? And so I think that, you know, especially for a high profile position like AG, you don't want to make it look like, you know, I'm throwing that person out right away the first time they disappoint me. And then that narrative again that, you know, we're kind of unsettled and don't know what they're doing. But I got to be honest with you, Jesse. I just think Cash Patel's lying to me every time he talks, either commission or omission, like every single time. Okay. His body language, like on every statement, is terrible. Pam Bondi's inaction has been terrible. And I think now those two people have gotten almost an entire calendar year. I can't believe there's anybody who thinks that they have not been disappointments. I think I would just move on.
Okay, Steve, now obviously I'm feeling what you're saying. Everyone watching is feeling what you're saying. Let me try to attempt this. Are we asking too much? Meaning, Pam Bondi, who I'm not a fan of, what's she supposed to do about the fact that a communist judge was installed in Tustin? You know, that all these systemic, what a great word, systemic things have been put into place to make stopping the system, changing the system, maybe not impossible, but slow and very, very difficult. And maybe after a year, are we getting too impatient too fast?
I think that's on a case-by-case basis, because you're right. There is a systemic problem here. But to me, this woman's credibility was hit the 2-minute warning in February when she took a lot of our brightest influencers and basically provoked them to tarnish their own credibility with the stupid binders of the Epstein files. And the whole thing's been just downhill from there. going, how many times did she go on Fox News in the nights prior to that event back in February to say, they're on my desk right now, I'm examining them right now. The target, it's a target-rich environment of people that could be arrested, and maybe arrested so that you don't have to go through a Trump or a Democrat-appointed judge or a D.C. court. How about the FBI is under her purview as well. You have these heroic whistleblowers like my friend Stephen Friend that we were told on August 27th we're all getting reinstated, and now there's been no further action or announcement on that whatsoever. I mean, there's just been too much dishonesty and too much incompetence that I think that, you know, you've reached a point of diminishing returns here. And if anything, maybe you've set a successor up to be successful in light of the systemic challenges we face with the swamp, like you just said, because the current rate of accomplishment is so low. I think you've just got to cut and run. I think if she were a stock, man, you got to pump and dump. You got to move on. I mean, this just isn't going to work. You can't go into another calendar year with this.
Okay. Steve, everyone, right? The midterms are starting to be on people's minds right now because we're a year away. And the general feeling is, I mean, Trump has basically said it himself, that we are going to get our teeth kicked in the midterms. Generic ballot looks bad. Prices are still too high. You know, all the stuff that's true. Can we change that? Can we reverse it? Can it be done? Is it possible?
It is. Now, there are only certain there's only certain factors we control here, all right? And you know, you can lose the generic ballot 4 or 5 points and still get close to a stalemate, provided you hold on to the balkanized parts of the country that are in your favor. And this goes back to the conversation we just had. You know, for our people, if we're not going to be able to deliver for them massive economic results, and you think of, you know, Reagan faced a similar malaise when he came in 80, and he got massacred in the 1982 midterms, and then turned around, the economy finally began to feel his changes, his paradigm shifts, and he had a historic landslide in 84. We can't afford that now, because if we get massacred next year, much of the Trump presidency is over. Trump will be in facing impeachment every day. The cabinet appointments we love the most, Hegseth, RFK Jr., all those people, they're all facing impeachment inquiries every single day. Much of the domestic agenda, whatever you think should have, is too slow, it grinds to a complete halt if we lose. So we have to control what we can control. What we need is our base max lit. We need them max unified. We need them to max turnout, because you're right. We really can't ultimately determine everything about the economy that will change, swing, and normie voters. Where we get massacred is when we're +5 on the generic ballot, and then you see what happened to Winsome Sears. What happened to Winsome Sears, third largest county in Virginia, Loudoun County, Virginia, Jesse, she only got 62% of the people in that county that voted for Trump in 2020. Her Democrat opponent got 84%. That was the whole election right there. We have to turn out our base. If we cannot deliver mass economic records, then the other stuff our base cares about the most, transparency, accountability, election reform, that's the stuff we have to deliver on, so that our base, that, because what happens is our base looks at that and says, we're already going to lose anyway, so screw these guys. They didn't give me what we want. I'm staying home, and Trump's not on the ballot anyway. And that's how the entire nation begins to look like the Winsome Sears race. That cannot happen. We have to control what we can control. What we can control is delivering on some of these things I just mentioned: transparency, accountability, election reform, delivering on those things for our people. And then ultimately, you do whatever you can with the economic messaging.
If Trump is not on the ballot, which he's not going to be on the ballot, not in 28, not in 26, if Trump's not on the ballot, do we have what it takes to motivate our base, or is our base just used to voting for Trump, and that is what it is now?
That's why, again, these issues are so important. These issues are like proxies for Trump. These are not issues the Republican Party cared about ever prior to the ascendancy of Trump. So the issues of accountability, all right, transparency, these are issues, election reform, these issues are unique to Trump as a brand. They're the closest we get to getting Trump on the ballot, is to be strong on these issues. And we can't just say, well, if you elect us again, we'll get them done, when you had the votes to get it done this time. We need a record of accomplishment on those issues so that Trump can then go out all over the country next year and sell our people on, hey, we delivered on those fronts. He is a symbol of disruption. Those issues are manifestations of the disruption he's a symbol of. And so it's the closest we get, Because if we don't deliver on those, you end up with the other factor, which is not Trump not on the ballot, but the other side is still driven by him to show up in mass. And then our side is depressed in result. And that's how you end up with a massacre. So we have to deliver on those three issues because they're proxy issues for Trump and his political brand.
Steve, thank you, my friend. I appreciate it. O-H-I-O. I did that right as he was getting cut off so he couldn't respond. Wasn't that a dirty move? Whatever. I'll send him some massive chips. He'll feel better. I wonder if Steve's tried massive chips. Have you tried them? It's really weird to me that there's a chip that's better than all the chips in the grocery store. And it's also better for you. That doesn't make sense. That's not the way it's supposed to work. Things that are good for you are supposed to be disgusting, like vegetables. Massive chips has three ingredients. Go look at the back of the bag. Look at the ingredients on the bags of chips you have in the pantry. It's bad. That's why you feel disgusting and bloated and miserable afterwards. Massive chips, you sit there, wipe out a whole bag. Three ingredients. Corn, salt, tallow. Try them. You'll feel better about yourself. You'll be healthier, and you don't have to give up eating chips. All kinds of flavors. MassaChips.com/JesseTV. We'll be back. Thanksgiving is here. I'm excited, but I wanted to remind you this is your yearly reminder that turkey sucks. You're not under any obligation to serve a gigantic dried out bird on Thanksgiving. There's a reason you don't eat turkey any other day of the year. You don't have to act like it's special. We can stop pretending. But there is something that is special. Would you like to know how to make it? Here it is.
Hey, now it is time, because it's Thanksgiving season, it's time for a little homemade tutorial on Jesse Kelly's world famous burgers with me, of course, Jesse Kelly. I felt the need to do this. I felt an obligation to do this because of how many people are going to eat turkey this Thanksgiving. Ditch the turkey, have Jesse Kelly burgers. Everyone will thank you for it. Nobody's going to be eating these burgers and saying, oh my gosh, what I'm really craving is dry meat. So just do this right. Let's begin. First of all, everything when it comes to cooking involves high quality ingredients. So make sure you spend the money, get the best ground beef you can find, okay? Boom, there. Now, maybe you're sitting there wondering why the black gloves. Is he going to help clean out Pete Buttigieg's office after he leaves? No, I wear these black gloves, one, because it cuts down on the mess, but mostly, every time I watch one of these videos of people cooking, they wear these black gloves and they look really cool, so kind of like Michael Jackson, but of age. So, first of all, burgers in there. Seasoning salt. I just use Lowry's or whatever I happen to have. You don't have to stress the general seasoning salt. Just a little sprinkle. Don't over season these with the seasoning salt. I've done it before. You get them way too salty and you just get absolutely dried out. Little garlic powder, again, just a little dusting of garlic powder. And then, of course, as I've said many times before, the star of the show, Chipotle Tabasco sauce. Not Tabasco sauce, which is gross, Chipotle Tabasco sauce. This is the star of the show. Now, be generous with it. Don't be whining about heat. Most of the heat cooks off. I do want to stress that it's most of the heat cooks off. If you're one of these sensitive people, gingers, Canadians, you can't handle any kind of a heat, then you might get a little extra spice. But for those of us normal people, you should have just the appropriate amount of spice. Now's when the black gloves really come in handy. Now, we mix. So obviously you know how to mix up burger. It's not very difficult, but make sure you mix it up extremely, extremely, extremely well, because otherwise you're gonna get a bite of nothing but Chipotle Tabasco sauce, and that might be a little overwhelming for you, especially, as I said, if you're a ginger or some weird freak like that. All right, now it's mixed up pretty good. Now, obviously, you just grab roughly quarter pound balls, because this is a pound of burger, so quarter pound balls, don't make any jokes. Here's that, and there's that. Burgers are done. Now, everyone knows a good burger is a thin burger, right? But I don't completely thin out my burger as it is now. In fact, if we have like a party or something I have to go to and I have to make a bunch of these, I'll just have just a bunch of these in there, just a bunch of balls sitting in there. So I'll flatten them out a little if I don't have to have a tub full of balls. Flatten them out just a little, just get yourself started on a little bit of shape. This is obviously not flat enough for a good burger, but it's a start. Okay, now it's ingredients time. Obviously you just saw me prep the burgers, I got that. You want to use your high-end plates. Cheese. This is an American cheese endeavor. Let freedom ring, baby. Don't use your fancy cheeses. Good cheeseburgers need American cheese. Then, the buns. The buns are more than just a delivery vehicle for the burger and the cheese. They're a critical part of the burger. So don't walk up in the grocery store and just grab a pack of buns. You have to finger the buns to make sure the buns are appropriate. One, get the buns from the back of the shelf. Everyone knows they put the older ones at the front, so they want you to buy them. Two, take the time, finger the buns, make sure you have good buns. Now, you can use a flat top on your grill and you can use a frying pan on your grill, but remember, these things have to be done on a flat surface of some kind. Not a grill. You don't want to lose your burger juice. If you're wondering, why does that pan look dirty? Because I made bacon this morning. And if you really want to level these things up, leave a little of your bacon grease in there like I did. And now I'll be frying up burgers in my bacon grease. Not only good, but good for you. All right, now it's time to get the thing done. Get your burger. Get it over. Medium heat, I would say medium heat. You don't want it hotter than that. In fact, I should probably, she's starting to smoke a little bit. Boom, she's down. Now remember, a good burger is a flat burger. That's probably too loud. A good burger is a flat burger. So you want to smash that thing down real good and flatten it out. See it in the bacon grease right there. Oh. Go. Burger's nice and flat. Burger looks like Kansas. Now, splatter's a problem. The wife usually gets mad. Little splatter guard on there. Let it sit for just a minute or so. All right, she's probably ready for the flip. Eyeball it, definitely ready for the flip. Flip. Now the second you flip it, get that American cheese on there because American cheese must be melted. Burger cheese must be melted. I cannot believe these savages who serve their burgers with the cheese unmelted. Now right about now you're probably thinking, okay, you have your high-end plates, you have your fingered buns. Jesse, what about all the ketchup and mustard and mayo and lettuce and tomatoes? Remember, world famous Jesse Kelly burgers are world famous for a reason. They don't need anything. No condiments, no vegetables, no nothing. You don't need any of that. And look how fast that American cheese goes to work. Boom. Burger is done. Burger is scooped. Burger is bun. That is ready to enjoy. You're welcome.
All right, we'll lighten the mood next. All right, it's time to lighten the mood. And just got back from New York City, went out to dinner with producer Matt and some others, fancy steakhouse, and it was delicious. But once again, I asked for a specific side of sauce. The food came, no sauce. The persecution, the discrimination against us has gone on for too long. And for those of you who've forgotten, here we are.
Have you been denied a side of sauce at a restaurant? Did the waitress promise you your ranch but left you with nothing? You have been wronged and you deserve justice. They took your order, they took your trust, they took your money, but they didn't bring you your sauce. They left you without your dip. Don't let them get away with it. Join the Dip Defenders at dipdefenders.com. We're the hard-hitting team that fights for you, your condiments. When the wait staff won't, we do. We've recovered millions of ketchup packets, ranch cups, and hot sauce bottles for clients just like you. You deserve to be treated like a human being. Don't wait. Join Dip Defenders now and get the sauce you deserve. Plus, for a limited time, you can learn to make Jesse Kelly burgers as well. DipDefenders.com, because dry food is a crime, and we are your justice.
Join now and subscribe. Results not guaranteed. Sauce availability subject to restaurant cooperation. DipDefenders not liable for soggy fries.
I see them all.
This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.